The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they got together. And to disconcert him, one of them put a question. "Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second resembles it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets also." The Gospel of the Lord. God's laws are meant to lead all people to Christ and his glory. And if they do not, they're obsolete. Words of Pope Francis a few mornings ago at one of his homilies during the morning mass. And he went on, "In fact, the scholars of the law in Jesus' day were so wrapped up in doctrine as an end in itself, they were unable to see that Jesus was leading the people down a new and surprising path to his glory." Because Jesus did strange things, things they didn't like. Like he walked with sinners, he ate with tax collectors, he cast out devils, he healed, he did extraordinary things. But the scholars and the lawyers didn't like it. So to disconcert him, they try to trap him out. And they'd 613 precepts, 365 prohibitions, one for each day of the year. And always remember, I always say, "Do not be afraid," or similar words to that come 365 times. That's better to remember, not the prohibitions. Or 248 laws of direction, one for every bone in the body. So with all that lot, they test him, saying, "Well, which one out of the, 613 and all that, which one is the key to all the others?" Obviously, it was a question that they'd spent years, centuries, in a sense, arguing and endless hours of debate and thrust and parry. And Jesus cut straight through all their web of opinions and commentaries in a simple, challenging answer. Religious laws, prophet sermons mean nothing unless they are pointed towards the love of God and love of neighbor as oneself. That wasn't anything new. The love of God and the love of neighbor was there in the Old Testament that they all knew, but what was new was Jesus making that connection so closely between one and the other. Almost going on to say that love of God, whom we cannot see, is bogus if we cannot love the people that he created that we can see. And that's something picked up in St. John's letter that we get immediately after Christmas and often after Easter too, when he's revealed to us that God is love. How can you love the brother or the sister that you can see and yet love God that you cannot see? The two, as it were, go together. So that the love of people is incomplete unless it is infused by the love of God. So Jesus has no time for the religion they had, which was of barren debate and unproductive words. And that reminded me of a few weeks ago when I said to you, when all is said and done, more is said than done. Jesus expects action, an active love of God, which leads to an active love of our neighbor, not a long sitting down and talking about it and discussing what we should do. No. You are to love God, and because of that, you love neighbor. That's why it's linked with the first reading, which from Exodus there, you see, going right back to that time, Exodus, that care for the poor people, those in need, lending money or his cloak or whatever it is, having a regard for them. Brought out in that second reading that we had, you observe the sort of life, says St. Paul, we lived when we were with you, which was for your instruction, and become imitators of us. Because what was Paul was trying to do, as you know, he unfolded the great mystery of love in the sense of 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, kind, all those things, all of it hanging together. So the Lord's saying, we don't have to sit down and debate all about it. No time for religion which plays around with laws and commentaries. No time for the hypocrisy where the mouth has all those nice words about God like heaven and grace and prayers and sacraments and fastings and novenas, but the heart is harboring bitterness and hatred and contempt and retains barriers between people and remains socially insensitive. I think reflecting on what Francis said, Pope Francis there, and the debate and ferment that went on in the synod in Rome, which is not over, as Archbishop Vincent Nichols says, it's part one of a three-part symphony. So don't be too upset or overjoyed by it, because it's ongoing. But Jesus, still the same sort of thing. No time, as you might see it in today's world, about, you know, TV discussion group that are talking about the poor or social injustice or world hunger and what we can do about it. And then they drive off in their very expensive cars to their even more luxurious homes. No time for sitting talking about God that doesn't lead you to bow in humble adoration before the Lord. No time for those that can't stand in the shoes of the poor to challenge the rich and the greedy. And he didn't have time either for those that, not so much in his day, substitute religion of man as the center of the universe. I'll remember in the 60s, there was this great thing about changing the Gloria. Glory to man in the highest. He is the master of things. Never happened. Thank God. But it was there because a society which neglects God and expends all its energy in trying to build a better social order here, totally ignoring anything else, it's been tried. Lenin and Stalin tried it. Others tried it. A social order without God, which to achieve they deliberately planned, Lenin and Stalin, of course, an agricultural catastrophe which led to famine and the extermination of millions. That is not love of God or even love of neighbor. But the religion Jesus favors is that of which he is that living example of God so loved that he gave and expects us to open our arms out wide like he did to those that are around us. At the start of every Catholic life, which begins, of course, in baptism, which most of us can't remember because it was before we were born, but sorry, before we were old enough to know what was going on. Before anything else happens, the first words of baptism is, what name have you given your child? What do you ask for that child baptism? And then it goes on. Before anything else, before the sign of the cross, before the water oils, anything else, it will be your duty to bring your child up to keep God's commandments, as Christ taught us, by loving God and loving our neighbor. Right from the minute of our baptism, as it were, then, the Lord's asking action of us for the rest of our life. And that's always a challenge when we come through the door. think it's one of the great strengths of our faith that the blessed water is there for you as you come in each time, reminding you of the baptism. And as I say, most of us don't recall because we were too young. And yet it's there to remind us of that. But today, of what our parents were charged with to teach us and bring us up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught, loving God, loving our neighbour. That, in a sense, is the baptismal challenge as we come in and as you're sent out to announce the gospel of the Lord. Go and love God and each other.